Now we're holding on page Dalet in Psachim, the first line of the medium-sized lines, middle of Oisches. Now we started learning last time about Shluchim Mitzvah Einan Nizokin. Now the Gemara, the way it has it here in Ein Yaakov is a little bit out of the order that it was in the Gemara. First, it starts talking about the idea that, for example, if you have a collapsed wall, there's a limit how much you have to search underneath it for chametz. Because of the sakana, there might be scorpions or who knows what there. So the Gemara says, what about Shluchim Mitzvah Einan Nizokin? And the answer is, he might be looking for other things meanwhile also. He might have lost a needle there, let's say, at some point. And now, literally, he's looking for a needle in a haystack. But he's doing that while he's looking for his chametz. And then maybe he's not considered a Shliach Mitzvah. So now is going to come a piece that the Gemara is going to ask soon, which isn't he still considered a Shliach Mitzvah anyway? But then afterwards, the Gemara had gone on to point out that still there are other examples also involving B'dikas Chametz where we say you don't have to because of the Sakana. For example, you have a hole in a wall between your house and a goy's house, and there's a concern that he might think you're doing witchcraft. So one thing, so the Gemara had mentioned the point that Shluchei Mitzvah are not harmed b'chazirosan on their way back home either. So and we learned that from the Oyler Regel. So now, to finish off that discussion of the Oyler Regel, then the Gemara continues. Amar Robin Bar Abba, or Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yitzchok, Mipnei Ma'in Peres Ginoisar B'Yerushalayim. Why is there no fruit of Ginoisar in Yerushalayim? Ginoisar is an area near the Kinneret. It's got very, very juicy, delectable fruit. The Gemara mentions in a number of places how it was the best quality fruit in Eretz Yisrael. So why don't you find that in Yerushalayim? Bifrat, the question is, an interesting point is, the Medrash mentions that since Yerushalayim is the center of the world, there are actually, you can find there microclimates of all of the various places in the world. And it mentions that Shlomo HaMelech in particular took advantage of that. He knew where each of those veins of soil was that came from someplace else, and he would plant, he made himself a garden over there, and he planted in the appropriate parts of the garden trees that normally wouldn't grow in the climate of Yerushalayim, but they would because he knew the right place to grow them. So why didn't Hashem make, to begin with, that the climate for Peres Ginoisar can be found in Yerushalayim? The reason is, you don't want the Oyler Regel to say, if we had not come up to Yerushalayim, if we had come up only for the purpose of eating the Peres Ginoisar, Dayenu, it would have been enough for us, and therefore it comes out that he's going up on Aliyah L'Regel, Shaloi L'Shma. Now, the piece that the Gemara is going to bring soon mentions a person is, at least according to some explanations, if he's doing a mitzvah, then he's allowed to have another purpose in mind as well. It doesn't have to be exclusively Lishma. So here he might be doing Aliyah L'Regel, but also thinking of Peres Ginoisar. That's maybe not so bad. The point is, Maharsha says it actually is a continuation of the previous piece. Given that we said that only a person who has karka has the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, the idea of it being when he has karka, then he's coming up to be mesameach with his maaser sheni, with his peiros maaser sheni, and other such things. If he doesn't have karka and he would be coming up exclusively for the peiros ginoisar, then that would be shalor l'shma. So that's why the Gemara puts that over here. Kayotzvei omer abdestoy berabiana. In Chamei Tveria b'Yerushalayim, why are there no hot springs of Tveria in Yerushalayim? Here also we have to ask what makes the Gemara think that that potentially we should have them, that the Gemara is asking why. Well, we learned in Eruvin that one of the entrances to Gehenna is located in or near Yerushalayim. Gehenna being hot, it would heat up the underground water. You'd have thermal springs over there. So why didn't they able to make that there are thermal springs by Yerushalayim? Same idea. If we had only come up to Yerushalayim to bathe in the hot springs of Tveria, it would have been enough. And then it comes out that they've come on Aliyah L'Regel Shaloi L'Shma. Again, maybe exclusively Shaloi L'Shma. Maybe they are being Mekayim Mitzvah. But they're also putting something else together with it that shouldn't really be there. Its best does not be there. And therefore, the Eibishter made that these things are not there. So, Udiyuran in the Gemara. So now, again, he's saying he's giving it a little bit out of order. Udiyuran, the Gemara started this discussion when it talked about that business of searching for chametz under a collapsed wall. And the point is, you don't necessarily have to do that because of the danger of scorpions. So, Va'amar Rav Elazar Shluchim Mitzvah in Nizirkin. So Amr Meshaushi or Rav Ashi, Shema Tovid Lo Machat. The problem is he might lose a needle. he might have previously lost a needle, but Osila Yonibasra, and now he's going to be coming and looking for it and not just doing Bidigas Hametz. So the Gemara asks, B'chai Gavna Lav Mitzvahi, so what? And if he is looking for the needle, wouldn't that be a mitzvah as well? V'hatanya, we're learning a b'raisa. If he says this seller, this coin should be for tzedakah, in order that my children should live, or that I should have a place in Olam Haba, another place is in Gemara, the Girsa is Kadesha Ezke L'chai Olam Haba, Hareza Tzadik Gomer, then he's complete tzadik. Now, what does that mean, a complete tzaddik? How does that make him a complete tzaddik? So there's a lot of different explanations. Rashi says it means regarding this matter. We know the Alter Rebbe explains on the first page of Tanya that sometimes you can have a person as a tzaddik. For example, tzaddik bedino. He's not the real definition of a tzaddik, but as far as the judgment of Hashem, he can be considered tzaddik. So if a person regularly does that, the fact is he's giving tzedakah. So even though he's doing it with ulterior motives, nevertheless, regarding the mitzvah of tzedakah, he can be called a tzaddik gomer. Even though he's doing it for things in this world or for things of next world. You have a famous vort on this that says something, I forget what Rebbe it happened with, but where Chosid says to him, you know, when I give tzedakah, I'm not so sincere about it. I'm doing it with ulterior motives. And the Rebbe says to him, yeah, but the Oni is taking it, whether it's taking it l'shma, so that's good enough. Anyway, but there's a lot of other explanations. First of all, Rabbeinu Chananel, this Gemara is also in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Chananel there has the girsa, not Hareza Tzadik Gomer, but Harezu Tzedakah Gemura. The Tzedakah is a complete Tzedakah. He himself may not be such a Tzadik, but at least the Tzedakah is a complete Tzedakah. Tosva says another point, which is, there's a different, now after all, we have in Pirkei Avos, Al Tiyu Kavodim, Ham Sham Shin Asarav, Ham Anas L'Kavod Pras. So Tosva says, what it means is, what Antigonus is saying not to do, is if you're saying I'm going to do the mitzvah, and if I don't get the reward, then I'm going to regret that I ever did the mitzvah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah mentions that that's a difference between Jews and Goyim. The Gemara mentions over there, it brings the same point about Shvil Sheyichu Bonai, and it mentions about Daryovish, who was a Goyish king. Okay, actually, he was the son of Esther. How we consider him a Goyish king is a whole other matter when we get to Masech the Rosh Hashanah. We'll talk about that a bit, Best Hashem. But anyway... So he gave an announcement that they should supply wood and other certain and other and animals and whatnot for the Beis Hamikdash in order that they should be davening for the life of the king and his sons. And the Gemara says that's no good of him. What about our statement over here? Harei Zatzadik Gomer. And the answer is there's a difference in that regard between a yid and a goy. So Tosva says that's the difference. A yid does the mitzvah even if he doesn't get the reward. He's not going to regret that he did the mitzvah. A goy will. You find a similar thing, by the way. Rashi mentions a similar point in Parshas Toldos, taken from a Medrash about when Shlomo HaMelech davened. First, you find over there by Yitzchok's brachas to Yaakov, v'yitam mechah elakim, meaning b'midas adin, only if you deserve it. Whereas by Esav, he says nishmane yaretiya meshavecha, you're going to have the fat of the land whether you deserve it or not. And Rashi brings over there based on Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah where Shlomo asks that if a goy comes to daven the Beis Mikdash, Hashem should answer his tefillah and do whatever he wants. The point being, again, if a yid goes to the Beis Mikdash and davens and what he wants doesn't happen, he's not going to blame Hashem. He's going to blame himself. I don't deserve it. But a goy is going to think, oh, I went to all the getchkas and they were worthless. Lahavdil, I went to Hashem. So he's going to start questioning like that. And therefore, Shlomo asks, don't do that. Show him that you run the world. So this is in a similar vein over here. Marsha says another point, which is that tzedakah is different than most other mitzvahs. We know when it comes to tzedakah, you're allowed to test Hashem. So therefore, there you can say, b'shvil sheyichyu banai and so forth. Not necessarily can you do that by other mitzvahs. With that said, that itself is not so simple. Marsha is taking it as a given that that applies to tzedakah as well. The Tur in Hilchas Tzedakah actually brings a machlokas rishonim whether we know aser b'shvil shadis aser and aser b'shvil shadis asher. Does that apply only to meiser of produce, or does it also apply to meiser of money and other forms of tzedakah? Marsha is taking it as a given that it does, but there are rishonim who disagree with that. Anyway, there's other points as well. Hakosev makes a point over here. He brings from the Ran that the difference is Antignus Ish Soicha is telling us the highest level that a person should be on. Altiu Kavodim Amsham Shinasarav Amanas the Kava Pras. However, if a person doesn't do that, if a person does do it, Amanas the Kava Pras, or Gemara is saying he can be a tzaddik. A tzaddik he'll be. He won't be a chosid though, which is to go beyond a tzaddik. So therefore, that would be another way of reconciling him. Anyway, back to the Gemara. The point is, so what if he's looking for a needle while he's doing Bedikas Chametz? And the answer is, Duma Bosa de Bodik Osilo Yonibas Rechola. The problem is, once he's finished Bedikas Chametz, he may continue searching for the needle. At that point, he's not a Shliach Mitzvah anymore. So therefore, now he might be harmed by the snakes or scorpions and whatnot, and therefore, we don't want him to be searching over there. So the Gemara asks, don't we say that shluchim mitzvah are not harmed? And here's actually where you have the piece that the Gemara says before, that they're not nizik, ba'ali chosin or ba'chazirosin. So the Gemara explained, it's actually a machlokas tanoim, whether a shliach mitzvah might be harmed on his way back. So here, he's on his way back. He's finished with the mitzvah, b'dikas chametz. He's on his way back, leaving that area, and now he's looking for the needle. Anyway, the Gemara mentions another point, heicha d'shtrecha zeika shayni. Where there's a known danger, then it's different because you can't be so mechala nes. Shenemar, as we find when Hashem tells Shmuel to go to Beis Lechem and find one of Yishai's sons and appoint him as the next king after Shaul, Vayoyim Shmuel Eich Elich. Shmuel asks, "How can I go? V'shama Shaul v'haragoni. Won't Shaul hear and kill me because I'll be a murdered b'malchus?" And Hashem doesn't tell him, "Don't be afraid. I'm on your side." Instead, Hashem tells him, "Vayoyim Hashem, you're right." Take a calf with you and tell them that you're going to bring a korban, which is not a lie. He is going to go bring a korban over there. This was after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed during the time when the Mishkan was in Noiv. They were allowed to bring korbanos anywhere. So that'll be his cover story, but really he's going over there to anoint David. The point being that because it's Shchiyah Hazekah, it's a clear and present danger, that yes, if Shaul finds out that Shmuel is off to anoint somebody else, then Shmuel is going to be in trouble. And the point is that you can't rely on a nes. The Gemara mentions this point in other places as well. For example, you have, even though we say shluchim mitzvah in the nizokin, and even though we know that kibud av ve'eim and shluach hakan are both mitzvahs for which a person is zoicha ta'arichos yomim, nevertheless, you have the story of the boy who was climbing up over there to do shluach hakan and to do kibud av ve'eim and fell down and died. The Gemara mentions sulam ra'ua. It was a shaky ladder and he had no business going up it in the first place and relying on a nes. So you have the same principle over here. So the Gemara says, in this connection, bo minei Rav. They one time asked Rav, hani bei Rav. These young Talmid Chachamim, the yeshiva students, the Dairi Beboga, they live in villages that are in the valleys. You have the farmers over there, in other words, the Jewish farmers over there, put them up, they stay by the farmers, and then they walk to the basement. Can they come early, very early in the morning, when it's still dark, to the Beis Medrash and go home to the to these farmhouses when it's dark? Or do they have to be worried about the danger, or can they rely that shluchim mitzvah in and break it? So Rav tells them, Nesu alive al tzavori. Let them come, and it'll be on me and on my neck. In other words, I'm taking responsibility for them that they'll be safe. So he asks, Nezomai, what about when it comes to going early in the morning or going late at night to the Beis Medrash to learn Torah from the farmhouses to the Beis Medrash? Can they do that? And the answer is Rav is saying, yes, I'm taking responsibility for them. What about Nezomai? What about, are they allowed to leave the Beis Medrash to go to the farmhouses at night? There it's only returning from the Shluchim Mitzvah, not going to it. Amalahu lo yadina. He says, I don't know, because as we said before, it's Machlokas Tanoim, whether a person is safe, whether Shluchim Mitzvah in a Nizokin Bachazirosin as well. So therefore, he says, that I don't want to take responsibility for. Okay. further on in the Perek, there's a Mishnah talks about, first it starts talking about certain halachas involving Tumah V'Tahara, involving burning Kodshim or Truma that became posel, and then the Mishnah, then in the Mishnah, Reb Meir tries to draw an analogy to that when it comes to burning chametz. Can you burn truma, if you have truma of chametz, which needs to be burnt, can you burn it together with other food that's tameh, even though you're making it tameh at the time, or does it not matter because it's all getting burnt anyway? So the mayor tries to draw an analogy between them. Reb Yossi tells him, Einahi Amida, it's not a valid analogy. And the Gemara spends many, many dafim in a very complex sugya dealing with the ins and outs of this and dealing with many, many details of Tumah V'Tahara. In the course of that, at one point, the Gemara brings up a point of what kind of, there's a din that we know that liquids are metabol trauma and can transmit trauma, but there's a din that liquids that are in the Beis HaMikdash, certain liquids that are used in the Beis HaMikdash are not metabol trauma. Yosef Ben Yezer gave Eidos on that. And you have machlokas Rab and Shmuel within certain details of that. So in this connection, the Gemara brings the following piece. Now you have like this, the Navi Chagai lived at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. He was one of the three Nevi'im who came with them back from Bavel and told them, and we find in the Pesukim, he's one of the ones urging them to build the Beis HaMikdash. You have the whole thing over there where they came originally, they started building it with Kodesh's permission, then Kodesh rescinded the permission, and Achashverosh kept it that way, and it lasted that way until the second year of Daryavish, 18 years, and then the Pasuk says, Zechage and Zechariah, and Malachi as well, were urging them to build and finish the Beis HaMikdash, even though they don't have permission, and they started, and eventually they got official permission. Daryavish reaffirmed Kodesh's original proclamation. Anyway, so the Navi Chagai, so at one point Hashem tells him, look, the Jewish people have been in Golus for many years, so the Kohenim in particular may have forgotten details of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Test them on it. See if they know what they're doing, and if not, then we have a problem. So, Ksiv, so the Pasuk says that Chagai asked the Kohenim, Hein Yisa Ish B'Sar Kodesh B'Chnaf Bigdai. Suppose that a person carries B'Sar Kodesh in the corner of his garment. Now, on the surface, B'sar Kodesh would mean meat of Kodeshim. And there are some Mephoshim who explain it that way, that in other words, let's explain the Pesukim first, and then we'll get to the piece of Gemara. So Chagai asks him, Ken yisa ish B'sar Kodesh b'chnaf bigdai, and he touches various foods. Will it become Hayikdash? And they answer no. Then he asks them, what about if a tamei nefesh? What if a tamei mess touches any of these things? Will the food become tamei? And they say yes. Now, some of the Mephoshim explain that he's not really testing them on Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. He wants to get the conversation to something where they're going to answer tamei, where then he's going to answer which. The Gemara is going to quote the Pasuk and explain that he's saying you should know Hashem is not pleased with your avoida. What you're doing over here is tamei unless you shape up. So there are some Mephoshim who explain it that way. In other words, that first he's asking them, look, if you touch regular food with Kodesh food, will it become Kodesh? And the answer is no. Kedusha doesn't get transferred like that. But on the other hand, if you touch Tumah with if you touch food with something Tumah, it will become Tumah. Tumah spreads like that. So therefore, you got to be careful. You got to be on your toes to make sure that no Tumah infiltrates. However, the Gemara here is understanding differently, that he's actually testing them on Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, and both parts of his question have to do with those halachas. So when he's asking about B'sar Kodesh, he's not asking about food of Kodeshim, rather Kodesh over here means Tomei. We find sometimes that the word Kodesh means something that's Tomei, like or off limits. They have, for example, by Kalaya Kerem, Tiktash Amaleya. You have a Kodesh and a Kadesha, for example, is somebody who is off limits to you as far as marriage and so forth. Mephoshim explained, Bechlau, the Shurdish Kodesh can mean something that's off limits. So it can mean the Mal Yose, it can mean in the positive sense, it's holy, or it can mean in the negative sense that it's disgusting and you have to stay away from it. Anyway, so the Gemara is understanding it that way. So, Hein Yisa Ish B'Sar Kodesh B'Chnach Vigdai. Suppose a person carries Tomei flesh in the corner of his garment, which the Gemara's understanding means the flesh of a dead sheretz. Now, the sheretz is an avatruma. Here you have Rashi and Tosfos have quite a bit of discussion about what exactly the scenario is. Is it that we're talking about that then the sheretz itself touches the foods that are going to be mentioned in the pasuk, or is it Tosfos learns that it means that the sheretz touches the corner of the garment, which in turn touches the foods? Anyway, The noga b'chnafoi, then he touches with his with the corner of his garment, el alechem, the bread, ve'el anozir, or stew, ve'el yayin, or wine, ve'el shemen, or oil. Now, in simple pshat, it means one or the other. The Gemara is actually understanding that it means one and then another. The sheretz, or the corner of the beggar, as the case may be, touches the bread. The bread touches stew. The stew touches wine, etc. Ve'el kol machal, or any other food, hayikdash, will it become tameh? And the Kohenim responded, and they said no. Now, what happened? Did they pass the test, or did they flunk it? Rav Omer Ishtabu Shkani. Rav said the Kohenim were making a mistake. They flunked the test. Or Shmuel Omer Loi Ishtabu Shkani. Shmuel said they did not. They passed the test. Rav Omer Ishtabu Shkani. Namely, Rav learns, Revi Bakodesh Bominai Uva Amulei Tahar. What he was asking them is, a Revi, when it comes to Kodesh, is it Tahar? And they answered yes, which is wrong because it's still Tame. In other words, the point is, the Gemara explains further that according to Rav, what it is the Sheretz itself touches the bread. So the Sheretz is an Avatoma. The bread, therefore, is a Rishon. The stew is Sheni. The wine is Shlishi. The oil is Revi. So is the oil Tame? And they answered no. And that's wrong. When it comes to Chulin, you go only up to Sheni. When it comes to Truma, you go only up to Shlishi. When it comes to Kodshim, you go all the way as far as Revi. So if they're saying it's Tahar, that's a problem. Shmuel says the Kohenim did not make a mistake. Chamishi b'kodesh b'aminayu, because he's asking them about a chamishi when it comes to Kodesh. And they said correctly that that's Tahar because Shmuel understands that the sheretz touched the clothing, which made the clothing a rishon, and then the clothing touched the bread, and the bread touched the stew, etc. So that by the time you come to the oil, you're only up you're 5 degrees away from it, and that's fine. That's according to Rashi. Again, Tosfos learns somewhat differently, but the point is still the same that according to Shmuel, they passed the test. So the Gemara asks, "V'shleim Rab ha'inu d'chtiv arba." So according to Rab, it's easy to understand what we mean, why it mentions four kinds of foods: lechem, menozid, yayin, v'shemen, because he's asking them about a revi. Where is Shmuel getting a fifth level that he's saying that they said is Tahar? And the answer is Migsib Noga Knafoi. After all, does the Pasuk say that the corner of his garment touched, which would imply that the sheretz itself, which is in the corner of his garment, touched the food? No, v'noga b'knafoi k'siv. The pasuk says he touches with the corner of his garment, meaning Shmuel will learn b'masha noga b'knafoi, that there's something that his corner of his clothing touched, which in turn then touched the bread, etc. So therefore, he's going to learn the sheretz itself is the avatoma. The clothing that it's wrapped in is also an avatoma. The clothing in turn touches something else, which is a rishon. The something else touches the bread, which is a sheni, and so on and so forth until you get to the oil is chamishi. So therefore, no problem that they said it's tahor because that's correct. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to prove. Vayom Chagai, the next pasuk continues that Chagai asked the Kohenim, Im Yiga Tmei Nefesh B'chol Eila Hayitma, if a Tomei mess touches any of these things, will it become Tomei? So then the Gemara asks, now that answer is correct. The Gemara asks, well, according to Shmuel, fine, they passed both parts of the test, but why, according to Rav, why would we assume they failed the first part and passed the second one? And the Gemara gives a couple of possible answers. Anyway, it's an arichos over here between the Gemara and Rashi and Tosfos, whenever. Anyway, so he skips to the end. The Gemara asks, according to Shmuel, that they passed both parts of the test. So very good. Even after all these years of Golus Babel, they still are fully familiar with all the halachas. So what does Chagai mean when he says, he continues in the pasuk criticizing them? He says, Kena goyazeh, that's how this nation is, v'chein komasi yadehem, and everything they do, v'ashe yakrivu sham, and everything they offer in the Bismikash, Tomei, who is Tomei? Now, according to Rav, it's easy to understand. Chagai is telling him, look, you better shape up. You better bone up on these halachas. Otherwise, whatever you bring in the Mishmikdash is going to be Tomei, because you're going to have things that are Tomei and you're not going to realize. But according to Shmuel, if they pass the test, why is Chagai criticizing him? So the answer is, Omer Mazutra, Meitei Meravashi, Mitoch Shekilkul Maaseim. He's not criticizing them right on the spot that they failed the test. He's warning them future times in the second Mishmikdash when they mess up their ways, when they do other Averis, Mala Elam HaKosev Kilu Krivu B'Tumah. The Pasuk considers it as though they offered Korbanos B'Tumah. So in other words, Chagai is not telling them right now you flunked the test, but he's telling them, make sure that you keep up the standards that you need to of mitzvahs during the time of the second Mishmikdash. Otherwise, Hashem will consider the Korbanos that you bring over here to be Tumah. Kol Shah Perek Sheni, the beginning of the Perek talks about the point that after a certain time, chametz is also to eat and is also b'hana. And so that brings the Gemara into a long, complicated sugya about b'chlal, how do we know that chametz is also b'hana, and what about other things that are also in the Torah to eat, which ones are also b'hana and not. So in the course of the discussion, the Gemara mentions, the Gemara gives a rule over there and then discusses it at some length, that whenever the Torah tells you you're not allowed to eat something, generally speaking, it means it's also b'hana. So one thing, in the course of that, the Gemara mentions, what about the shor ha'niskol? You have a case where an ox gores and kills somebody, where the Torah says you have to give the ox skila. And it's not only an ox, by the way. The Gemara in Baba Kama mentions that din applies to any behemah chayav oif. There's a Mishnah in Adius, which is brought in the Gemara in Brachas, for example, that mentions that one of the Chachamim gave Adius that one time there was a chicken in Yerushalayim that pecked at the head of a baby and killed it, and they gave skila to the chicken. So the point is, Pasuk says, "Soko yisoko lasher v'lo ya'ochlos b'sori." You're not allowed to eat the flesh of it. And the Gemara explains, doesn't mean you can't eat it. Obviously, if you stone it, it's nevela. You can't eat it anyway. It means it's also b'hana. So the Gemara goes through some discussion of it. Anyway, the Gemara mentions that when it says es b'sori, it might mean the skin. You're not allowed to have hana from the skin either, but maybe not. So why is it? Do we dash in the s or not? So here's where you have the piece here in Yaakov. Tanya, we learn in a brisa, Shimon ha'am suni, v'amim lo Nechemya ha'am suni, two different versions of what his name was, ha'ya derdash kol es in Shabbat Torah. He was daushining, every time it says es in the Torah, it's always meant to add something. For example, we have examples of such drashas in various places, Gemara and Midrashim, for example, es ha'shamayim lo rabes tzvam, es ha'aretz lo rabes tzva'eha, that it means Hashem created not just the heavens and earth, but everything that's in the heavens, that populates the heavens and everything that populates the earth, kabet es ha'vicha v'esimecha, includes your grandparents and your older brother, and so on and so forth. So a number of drashas like that. So he was going through systematically in the Torah and doushing every es like that. Even shigil es ha'shem alekecha tira, eventually, he reached the pasuk es Hashem lekechatira. Now, what else could you add that should be on the same level that you fear Hashem? Pirush. So he held back, and Rashi says didn't just mean he held back. He stopped at that point, which is in the middle of Parshas Ekev. Means he retracted all the drushes that he had set up until that point. You can imagine he must have spent years working out all these drushes, and now he's saying forget about it. It's all gone. Given that this one can't possibly be including anything else, then the other ones also must be invalid. Omer loy tamidov, says tamidim asked him, Rebbe, kol esin shedarash de matahelein, what's going to be with all the esin that you douse in? What about all that work you put in? Omer lahem, he tells them, kashem shekibalti schar ala drisha, just like I get reward from Hashem for doushening them, kachani makamal schar ala prisha, so I will receive reward from Hashem for holding back, for retracting them. In other words, one interesting explanation is, in other words, that what he means is that like this, it was an honor to the Torah to douch in every, and to Hashem, who gave the Torah, to douch in every S, to say that even a word like S, which doesn't even really have a taich, has a meaning. It's come to teaching us something, that there's no extra word in the Torah. But now that I realize that that would cause us to say something wrong over here, then just the opposite, I'll get a reward from Hashem, that now I'm upholding the honor of Hashem by saying es Hashem alekecha tira can't possibly include anything else, and therefore that all the esin are not to be doushin. Ad shebara b'akiva v'limid over dorash and Torah b'akiva came and taught that no, that S can also include something. Es Hashem alekecha tira l'rabis tamid chachamim. It comes to include that you have to fear a tamid chacham on the level that you fear Hashem. So therefore, now b'pashtus Shimon Hamsuni or Nechemya Hamsuni still didn't take back. He still said, "I'm Purdish and that's it. I don't accept Rabbi Akiva's equation." But that's the Gemara explained that that's why you have a machlokas, whether to douch in the S of S Besara or not will depend on this machlokas of Shimon Ham Sunni or Rabbi Akiva. Now, what about, Mao Shah says, what about you have earlier psukim that mention something about Hashem and mention S? What about V'ahavta Es Hashem Alekecha? Why isn't he bothered by that? Okay, you could say because yes, you have to love a Tamid Chacham on the same level you love Hashem. But Yira, the one form of Yira is because of Oynish. Schar va'onish. The Tamid Chacham is not the one who gives schar va'onish. Hashem is. So how could you say as Hashem alekecha tira means includes the Tamid Chacham? But Rabbi Akiva disagreed and says that it does. There's a lot of other explanations what the machlokas between them. One interesting point, the chiddah makes a point. What's this expression? Acha bar Rabbi Akiva v'limid. Where did he come from? And he answers, you have the story in Chagiga where he and the other Chachamim went into the paradise over there. And at one point they see Malach Matat sitting over there. And then we know Elisha ben Avuria saw that and he mistakenly thought that that means Matat is a lower god or something. And from that he became an apikodos. Anyway, the Gemara mentions over there that they actually gave Matat petch for that. They told him that when you saw the Chachamim coming, you should have stood up in their honor. So Ad Shabbos and now Rabbi Akiva came from there and he realized, look what an honor you have to give to the Chachamim, that even the Malach Matat, no less, is expected to show them Moda and stand up in their honor. There's also another explanation on it that says that also Rabbi Akiva learned it from the fact we know what happened with his 24,000 Talmidim because Lenagu covered Zebizeh. So he says, you see from that what kind of a Moda you have to have for Talmid Chachamim on a par with the Eibishter. So this is where he gets, you know, we have in this past Shabbos is Pirkei Avos, so Moda Rabcha, Kemoda Shemayim, that comes from this, that comes from this, Drosha of Rabbi Akiva's. Further on, the Gemara gets into a discussion about Isurei Hana, which ones, what about, are you, when you have something that's also Bahana, are you allowed to use it Shaloi Kederach Hana also? A practical thing that comes out of that, for example, is, let's say, to use it as medicine. So you have, for example, for today for food or whatever, you're not allowed to eat it, but would you be allowed to take it in pill form? A mice and Mechol Yom, for example, that there's a discussion about, for example, gelatin capsules or whatever, whether you're allowed to. So the Gemara talks about that you are most Isurei Hana, you are allowed to, with a couple of exceptions. So the Gemara mentions, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yechanan, Bakol Misrapin, in this connection, you're allowed to heal yourself with any Isurei Hana, Chutz Me Atzei Asherah, with the exception of wood from an Asherah tree, which is also as Avodah Zarah. Tosfos explains this is what we're talking about, where the reason why you're being told you have to use the wood of an Asherah because it's necessary, for example, in order to invoke Shadim or something like that. So then there's the concern you may actually think that this is valid and then it may lead you into beliefs of Avodah Zarah. Therefore, it's what the Gemara elsewhere calls Abizrayu Avodah Zarah. It's not Avodah Zarah itself, but it's Abizrayu. It's like an outgrowth of the issue of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks, Hey Chidami, what's the scenario? Inema de'ika sakana, if we're talking about the person is dangerously ill, afilu atzei asherah nami, then you should be allowed to be healed even with the wood of an asherah. In general, most mitzvahs don't stand in the way of the pikuach nefesh. The e deleka sakana, and if there's no danger, afilu kol isur shabbatari nami loy, then it shouldn't be also to use any isur in the Torah. The answer is la'olam de'ika sakana. We are talking about there is danger, like the person's life is in danger. Nevertheless, you can't use wood from an asherah because, as we said, it's related to its abizrayu d'avodah zarah. The Tanya, as we learn in Braisa, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Im Nema Bechol Nafshecha, Lama Nema Bechol Moidecha. In Krishma, why does it say Bechol Nafshecha, and then it also has to say Bechol Moidecha? Bechol Nafshecha means with all your life. Bechol Moidecha means with all your wealth, all your money. So why does it have to mention that? Im Nema Bechol Moidecha, Lama Nema Bechol Nafshecha. Ela Loi Malach, it's coming to tell you. Im Yesh Lecha Adam Shegufay Chaviv Adam Mamayne. You may have one kind of person whose body, the health and the life of his body, is more important to him than his money. The Torah is stressing that you have to love Hashem and be ready to be Moser Nefesh with Bechol Nafshecha, even if your life is on the line. And you may have another kind of person whose money is more precious to him than his life. Okay, he may be a Meshuggah for thinking that way, but nevertheless, the Torah has to deal with Meshuggahim as well. Therefore, the Torah says you have to be ready to give away all your wealth for the Eibishter. So in other words, it actually says if a person uses Atzei Asherah to heal himself with, then it amounts to saying that he believes that the Asherah is effective. And that would be if not outright Avodah Zarah, it would be at least Abizrayu Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara continues. So Akosev brings over here from the Ran that actually the vote is. Now, why do we need to say that? The fact is, the Pasuk says we know a person has to be Moser Nefesh Bechol Nafshecha. The point is, he brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which the Gemara briefly, we have a little bit of it over here, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that even Avodah Zarah, a person can be over on Avodah Zarah in order to save his life. So then Rabbi Eliezer wants to tell us it's not like that. So ki also Robin Amar Rabbi Yechanan Bakol Misrapin Chutz Me Avodah Zarah V'Gilah Arayus Hashpichas Damim. All the big three a person can't heal himself with. Avodah Zarah Hodam Baran. Why not Avodah Zarah? We just explained because Hashem Lekecha B'Chol Levav V'Chol Nafshecha. And in other words, to worship Avodah Zarah would be to go against loving Hashem. Gilui Arayos and Shpichas Damim Ma'i. Where do we see that Gilui Arayos and Shpichas Damim, a person can't heal himself or otherwise save his life by doing those? The Tanya, Rebbe Omer. So Rebbe says, we have a pasuk that says, it's talking about a case of a Naira Amarosa. A man is chasing after a Naira Amarosa with intent to rape. And the pasuk says, so if he actually does, the pasuk says he's chayiv misa, she's potter, and the pasuk says ki kasha yokum isha re'ehu tzachay nefesh. The way it is, just like when a person stands up against somebody else and kills him, kein hadavar hazeh, so exactly is this thing. So you have to ask, what does a retzeach have anything to do with a naira mayrosa that the pasuk is comparing it? Rashi has a bit of a different gear. It's a malamadnu. What are we learning from one to the other? The pasuk tells us clearly that the naira is not punishable because it was ba'onus. So what are we adding? What is the Torah adding by giving this mashal of a ritzeach? The answer is hareza balalamid v'nimsa lamid. It seems as though the pasuk is coming to teach you something you wouldn't have known about naira hamayrasa, that you're learning from ritzeach, but it's actually the other way around. V'nimsa lamid, what you're actually doing is you have a hekish between them that therefore you can learn one from the other. Makish naira hamayrasa v'ritzeach v'ritzeach v'naira hamayrasa. Ma naira hamayrasa nitan latzila b'nafsho. Just like with the naira hamayrasa, you can save her from the onus. Right, you can save her at the cost of his life if necessary. Now you have the halacha, you have to try to wound him first, and only if you can't do that, you're too far away to shoot accurately or whatever, then you can do it b'nafshoy. But and you're allowed to do that. That's clear because the psukim say over there that soaka naira marasa v'ein mashiavah. She screamed out, and there was nobody available to help her, implying that if there's somebody available, then he's obligated to help her, even if it means killing the other guy. The right. So now, the same way, after Ritzeach, Nitin Latzila B'Nafshei, the same way Ritzeach, you can save him by killing him. That can mean to save him, it can mean to save the victim. It can also mean to save the Ritzeach himself from the Avera by killing him. This way, at least he doesn't lose his place in Olam Haba. Anyway, and we also learn the other way around, Ma Ritzeach, Yehorek Val Yaver, Ach Naira Marosa, Tehorek Val Taver. The same way as a Ritzeach is Yehorek Val Yaver. If you're given a choice, kill somebody or you're going to be killed, then you have to be ready to be killed, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second. How we know that? The same way by Naira Marosa or other Arayis. Now you have here, the expression in the Gemara is Tehorek Val Taver, which means that it would be on her. Tosfos over here and in Sanhedrin and Ksubas discusses that at great length and says maybe not necessarily. Maybe the gear says actually Yehorig Val Yaver, the man is the active one, an Ein Tishya L'Ladas. So he can't claim onus. But she, as the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, is Kauka Olam, as you have the example of Esther, maybe she's not required to be Moser Nefesh for that. And so Tosfos discusses that here and in some other places. And Tosfos discusses over here, are there any cases where with a man you would have that he's able to be over and not Yehorig? Tosfos gives an example. Let's say they're about to throw him onto a child to kill him. He's completely passive in that. So then we wouldn't say Yehorig Val Yaver because he's not doing anything active. Mashenkin, when it comes to a Naira Mayrosa or whatever, then name fishery El Ladas, and therefore you have Maisa. Anyway, so Shvichas Domim Gufim in Olan. So where do we know Shvichas Domim itself? You're saying you're making a hekish with Naira Mayrosa, but where do we know Shvichas Domim itself that you can't kill somebody else to save your life? The Gemara says Svaru. That we learn from logic. Ki Ahuda Osel Kameh de Rava. We have the example of somebody comes with a Shaila to Rava. Omalei says Mori Duroi Omalei. The ruler of my city, it could be the mayor, it could mean the poets who own the city, whatever it is, Omerli, he tells me, Zil Kapli Laplanya, go kill Pliny, V'iloi, Katyon Laloch, and if not, I'm going to kill you. So should I do it or not? Omerli Rabba, Lik Taloch, V'loi Tik Talune. You should allow yourself to be killed rather than you kill the other guy. D'mai Chosis, what are you thinking? That you would save your life, and it's Bikurach Nefesh, which is Doicha Kola Chara Kola. No, my Chos, the Dama Didoch Sumak Tvei, who says your blood is redder, in other words, more valuable, Duma Dama Dao, who Gavra Sumak Tvei, maybe his life, maybe his blood is more valuable. In other words, Rashi says, you're thinking that it's a matter of Bikurach Nefesh, so I have to save my life. But after all, a Yid's life is going to be lost regardless. Given that no matter what, a Yid's life is going to be lost, who says that your life is more valuable than his, that you should be able to be over an Aveda B'Poyel in order to save your life at the expense of his? Which there's a good deal of discussion in Sipre Halacha. You have Shiloh's Trubus from the Holocaust and from other times. What about if both of them are going to be killed anyway? Then maybe is there a difference? There's a good deal. Unfortunately, Jewish history has been such that there's been many, many opportunities for such Shiloh's over the years. Or Masayim B'Tayim. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Yud Zayin Elo. They once asked the Alter Rebbe, who's greater, Moshe Rabbeinu or Mashiach Tzidkenu? And the Alter Rebbe answered, Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu is like a doctor who doesn't yet have an experience, who doesn't yet have experience. Mashiach is like an experienced doctor. So he has the experience of all our time, of all our thousands of years of Jewish history. So therefore, he's greater. Halacha, continuing on Dinim of Ma'ariv, you're supposed to daven Ma'ariv right by Tzeis V'Chavim. You're not allowed to before that eat or do anything else. Even to sit down to learn half an hour before Tzeis V'Chavim is also just like Samuch L'Minchat Tanya. If you don't have other time, for example, you're learning Barabim, then at least you shouldn't delay Ma'ariv beyond Chatzos HaLayla. But Di'evet, even after Chatzos, you have up to Alois HaShachar to daven Ma'ariv. Not a minute, I'm not talking about who's that this is all.